After breakfast yesterday, I found myself channel surfing, and I came across a show on the History Channel that was following real-life treasure hunters on a small island in Nova Scotia. And I hadn't seen any part of this, so I didn't know if it was a standalone special or a series. And so I got sucked in a little bit, and my son was off doing his own thing, but he walked by, and I said, "Hey, buddy, there's a show about real-life treasure hunters on." And he came running right over and sat down, and I thought he might be interested because we like to watch movies like Indiana Jones and National Treasure, and so I thought that this would be the kind of thing that he would be into. And so we got sucked into the show for a couple hours because it turns out it's not a special, it's a series. And we watched in those 2 hours, and you know how much treasure they found? They didn't find anything because they want you to watch season 5, which apparently starts on Tuesday night. But why do I have any interest in this kind of thing? Why is this something me and my son and actually most of our family, we don't agree on a lot of movies, but some of those movies I mentioned are ones that we get into, and I'm never going to go hunt treasure. I don't really have an interest in that kind of thing to do for real. And yet there's something about this idea of there being something of extreme value that might just be laying around somewhere just under the surface, hidden from most, but accessible if we could read the clues and have the right information. There's just something about that that's fascinating to me and maybe to you. Here's what I find interesting about the show that we watched yesterday is that normally treasure hunters don't let people in on their secrets. I mean, if you've seen National Treasure, you know Nicolas Cage spends a lot of time and energy making sure nobody else is going to find out what he knows. And yet here's this show where they're letting all the secrets out. And maybe it's because they have some exclusive rights to that island and they're needing to spend millions of dollars to search for the treasure that they believe to be there. But why would a treasure hunter share the secrets behind what they have found? Well, as Christians, we have found the treasure of Jesus Christ in our lives. And for the treasure hunter, the reason that they would want to keep their secret secret is they don't want somebody else to come and steal the limited treasure that they've worked so hard to find the clues for. Why do we as Christians seem that we like to keep it a secret what God is doing in our lives? We can never exhaust the treasure we found in Jesus. There will never be an end to the point where we say, "Well, all right, I only got this much treasure, and if you're going to share that with somebody else, you're going to be out of luck someday." That will never happen. And so I want us to think and dig deep into the scripture this morning about what is this treasure that we have, and what are we supposed to do with that as Christians? Is it the right and responsible thing to keep it a secret and hold it to ourselves, or is there something more expected of us when it comes to this treasure that we have in Christ's exceptional love for us? Romans 5, 6 through 8, we've already heard it, but I want to read again. "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Each of us likely needs a reminder that the gift of God in his love in our lives is not because of us. And so there's a couple temptations as it comes to thinking God's love is somehow dependent upon who we are or what we've done. So there's a temptation for some to think that we have been so good that God owes us something. But these verses remind us it was while we were still sinners that Jesus took action on our behalf. He didn't think that you had earned God's love and he's just picking the check up early knowing that you've really already paid for it. No, we could never be that good to earn what God has done for us. Some of us struggle in the opposite direction. But we need the reminder that it doesn't matter where we've been or what we've done, we could never be so bad that God can't love us. No matter how bad we may be, there is always more power in the love of Jesus to pull us closer to God than there is power in our sin to keep us away. And so as we dig a little deeper into what God has done and is doing in our life, I encourage us to think about the cross this morning. Can we forget for a minute that maybe we wear it as a nice piece of jewelry hanging around our neck, or that we hang them on our sanctuary walls and we put lights on them? The cross tells us and reminds us that God would have done anything in order to save us. Even today in our culture, if somebody were to give up their son, particularly their only son for us, give their life, we would see that and understand that that is an amazing sacrifice. But if we go back into the time when Jesus walked this earth and gave his life for us and think about that culture, it is even more significant that God would give his only son. The only son was of supreme importance at this time. The son would have inherited everything, would have taken the place of the father in the society where everything revolved around fathers. Truly, there was no greater treasure in a family than the oldest son. If a family had an oldest son, then their holding, their status, their future was secure. They knew that their family would continue. And so for Jesus, as the Son of God, and for God the Father who allowed it, to lay down his life on our behalf is truly the greatest treasure that God could have given us. If the Father and the Son were willing to do this, God would have been willing to do anything to prove his love for us, to show how much he reaches to us in his grace. We can't overstate how much the Son dying on the cross is proof of God's love for us. If the Father would give up Jesus, he truly would have been willing to give up anything. And I think it's important for us to start to get our minds around this. Maybe we reflect on it from time to time, but to be reminded anew of this today, that God's love is not just some side thing in our life, that it is everything, and God gave everything he could possibly think of for our benefit. In November, we think about the issue of stewardship, and even as we finish this series on Vision Bound, we kind of bridge today into what we'll be talking about the next in the next weeks this month around the idea of stewardship. And that series that we start next week will be called Trusting That God Is Enough. And the idea of stewardship, again, we just talked about it at offering time, but it's the idea that we take care of something that belongs to someone else. And so as we reflect today on God's exceptional love, God's love is a gift that we receive, but it's a treasure that is too big for any of us to keep for ourselves. The exceptional love of Jesus will never run out on us, no matter how much we need it in our own lives, no matter how much we share it. And so there's no reason to keep it to ourselves, like we're a treasure hunter that has found something precious that somebody will take and we'll have less of. No, God will always pour more into our lives the more that we share it. As Christians, we should never think of ourselves as more worthy of God's love than the person who does not yet know Jesus. Our reading tells us that, reminds us of that, that we're never too good, we're never too bad, that God comes to us, that it is the gift of God that meets us while we are still sinners. And so I love that reminder. I love thinking about it in that way because, again, then it's not dependent on me to have done anything. But it's God's gift. I read it so long ago that I don't even remember where I saw it, but in thinking about sharing our faith with another, it can be a really intimidating thing. And one of the phrases that has always helped me in understanding just how simple it is this. If we think about our faith and sharing it with others, is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. I think it takes some of that pressure off, that we're not trying to have the perfect argument to convince somebody's mind, but can we think of ourselves as those who have been so touched by God's love and change that we might be able to share that with somebody else? We talked last week about how we go out for relationship, how everything about what God wants to do in us and through us is based around relationship. And the more deeply we get into any relationship, the more we begin to care for the other person. And so we have this limitless treasure. Why wouldn't we share it with someone else? Maybe we don't feel comfortable beating somebody over the head with the Bible, and that's okay. Because again, as we grow in relationship, it's not about using that relationship to manipulate somebody, but it's simply about sharing life and what is important to us. And so I want to give us just a few simple ways that we can think about sharing God's exceptional love that will hopefully be more comfortable than beating somebody over the head with Scripture for you, if that's not your thing. If it's your thing, you're in good shape. Just keep beating them with the Bible. But if that's not your thing, maybe these one or two or all three of these might speak to you today. So what does this look like? How can we share God's exceptional love? Well, one of the ways that I really like to use is letting other people know that I'm praying for them. Honestly, in all of the years that I've ever said to anybody, you know, I'm praying for you, or I'm praying for you. Is there something specific I can be praying for you about? No one has ever told me, don't do that. You are not allowed to pray with me. I'm sure the day will come, but it hasn't happened yet. And so that's a really powerful way. I mean, if you're going to be praying for them anyways, why not tell them that you're praying for them? Why not ask for something specific in telling them that you're praying for them? It doesn't have to be obnoxious. It doesn't have to be in their face. You can just say, you know what? I care about what's going on in your life, and I'm going to be praying for that. Can you keep me updated? There's all kinds of practical ways we can do that, but to let them know, whether they believe in God or not, that this God that is so important to you, that you would take them before Him, that's a powerful way to share this amazing love, that you don't necessarily need to have the right words or the perfect phrase. I'm praying for you. Is there anything specific that I can be praying for you about? There's a lot of power in that, that communicates your relationship both to the other person, but your relationship to God. So pray for them and let them know that you are. Two, can you be ready to let somebody know the difference that God has made in your life? And so I forgot to bring my bulletin up with me this morning, but on the front of your bulletin, you have a picture of somebody holding a sign that talks about what God has done in their lives. And it says simply, I love Jesus because in our crazy, messy world, He is my peace. And I imagine if you took the time and the effort and the trouble to be here this morning, there is something about how God has worked in your life that you hold to. For the person on the bulletin, it's that God brings them peace. What is it about God's love that has touched your life? Now, maybe that's one thing throughout all your life you always go back to. You know, Jesus is my rock. God is my wisdom and my strength. Maybe that changes for you between seasons. God was my care in my time of grief. But we all have something, and probably many somethings, that we know God has touched our lives. And can we be ready to just give testimony to that? I don't mean that We necessarily insert that into somebody's life when they're not ready and open. But again, when we begin to build relationships with those who don't yet know Jesus, we're going to talk about the things that are important in our lives. So whether that be our family or the game that we watched last night or what we're doing after work or school, we share about what's important to us. So what would it look like for you to be ready to at some time insert the way that Jesus is important to you? And maybe the reason you haven't done that is because you haven't just taken the time to think, all right, God, on this day, on this week, in this season of my life, what is it that just is really making a difference in my relationship with you? And if we kind of have that on our mind, not only will we be grateful and lift that up to God, but I imagine, because I've seen it happen in my own life, God will give you the trigger. God will let you know, ooh, now is the time to just share what's going on in your heart. Trust the Holy Spirit. You may say, well, I don't know. What if I say that God is my peace and they ask me 400 questions about what that means and I don't have all the Bible verses memorized that would say what that means? Well, they're probably not going to ask you 400 questions in response. But if they do, you can say, those are great questions. Let me get back to you on that. But if we don't open that door to let them know what God is doing, that God is important, just in the normal sharing, we may really miss some important opportunities to be those who share God's love. The third one, this may not be for everybody, but I know some folks really kind of are into formulas, and so there's a lot of different ways that you could do this. I hope everybody can see this from where you are, but this is one that I have not only found helpful, but I wish I knew about it earlier, and it's just this real simple illustration. You could draw this on a napkin, or you could explain it easy enough, and it's do versus done. Maybe you've seen this, and it goes very simple, just like this. Every other major religion in the world has to do with what we do. If you do the right things, then you may find yourself in favor with the deity that you are following. If you do the right things in the right order, you may end up in some sort of a spiritual state of peace, either in this world or in an afterlife. Every other world religion besides Christianity in some way is based on what people do in order to find favor with their deity. Christianity is the only one that has to do with what God has done for us. And that's why it's so important for us to be open and to reflect on the love of Jesus Christ and what Jesus has done. This scripture again reminds us that it doesn't matter how good we are, we will never have earned it. Doesn't matter how bad we are, we could never scare God away from loving us because it's built on what Jesus has done for us. And so I think back to a conversation that I had when I worked in a restaurant. We were flying around on a busy Friday night, and somehow, I don't remember how the conversation started, but this guy, I think maybe he had just lost a friend not too long ago, and before that, and he started talking about, you know, he hopes that he could do enough good things to outweigh his bad. Now, I knew this guy. He was going to have to do a lot of good things to outweigh his bad. But I had that opportunity to say, I know for sure that I'm going to spend eternity from God. And, you know, this made him really mad, actually. And so we had all these interchanges for the rest of the night that he needed to let me know how mad he was that I could have confidence in that. And I think what he thought I was saying is that I had done enough stuff. I think what he heard, because it was how he understood it, that I thought I was such an amazing person that I was completely confident that I was going to be able to spend eternity with God. And I don't remember exactly how we interacted, because again, it was a bunch of very short and choppy conversations in the midst of a busy night at a restaurant. But if I would have had this, if I could have talked about the do versus done, Maybe he could have more clearly seen what God invites us into in our lives. And so, again, if you're kind of into formulas or visuals, or you hit a situation like that, or maybe you encounter somebody who thinks that, well, you know, there are some vices that I don't ever want to let go of, so I don't think I could ever be a Christian. We can remind them, well, it's not really what we do. It's what God has done for us. And if somebody can open their heart to what Jesus has done for them, then we don't necessarily need to correct their actions or what they do. We can let the Holy Spirit work on that afterwards. But this may be what breaks through the barrier that builds the bridge for them. If they've been saying, well, I don't want to give up such and such, so I'll never become a Christian. If we can introduce to them that it's about Jesus' love and who he is, not about what you do, if they can open themselves to that, then we'll let God work on the other side of things. So maybe those few ways are helpful for you in thinking about how might I share Jesus' exceptional love in the context of relationship. Again, praying for somebody, letting them know that you're praying for them. The second, just having a sense for what God is up to. Why is it important for you? What is your testimony right now in this season? Can you say that in a sentence? Can you say that through one scripture verse? Maybe it's having something simple like this, do versus done, to be able to share. However it is, God loves you so much. And it's great that you have some understanding of knowing that has you here. But let us not keep that a secret, like we have found some treasure that we're going to lose if we share it. In fact, the more that we share it, the more treasure we will find in our lives, not only through God's blessing, but the blessing of knowing that somebody we are close to has Jesus Christ when they didn't once. Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount shares this, and I want to share these words because I know they're words we're familiar with, but I want to share them as translated from the Message. There, Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16 are put this way. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in this world. God is not a secret to be kept. We are going public with this. As public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think that I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, help us to understand anew today your great love for us. Help us to open ourselves either once again or in a deeper way to just how exceptional your love is in what you've done for us. Lord, as we grow in our understanding of the love that will never abandon us, put on our hearts specific people that you have put into our lives. Help us to develop those relationships, to let them know that we care as we walk alongside. Lord God, as you open the door, help us be ready to engage, to be able to simply share about who you are and all that you've done. Lord, we thank you that the treasure we find in your love is not one that is hidden, but it's one that you have broadcast to all of the world. Lord, as we continue to open our hearts to that love and to know you in our own lives, Lord, let us not keep that secret, but let us share our treasure. In the name of our Savior, the one who loves us, Jesus Christ, we pray these things. Amen.